1 Samuel. I was looking where to put my glasses. Take your glasses off. It's hard to find them sometimes. Book of 1 Samuel, chapter number 8. I will try to hold out as long as I can tonight. And 1 Samuel, chapter number 8, verse 1. The Bible tells us in 1 Samuel, chapter number 8, verse 1, it came to pass when Samuel was old that he made his sons judges over Israel. And the name of his firstborn was Joel, and the name of his second was Abi. And it said they were judges in Beersheba. And his sons walked not in his ways, but turned aside after lucre, and took bribes, and perverted judgment. Sound like they became politicians. Man, that would preach, wouldn't it? Then all the elders of Israel gathered themselves together and came to Samuel and Ramah and said unto him, Behold, thou art old, and thy sons walk not in thy ways. Now make us a king to judge us like all nations. But the thing displeased Samuel when they said, Give us a king to judge us. And Samuel prayed unto the Lord. Now, I just want to stop here. I don't believe it was because Samuel was displeased because they rejected his sons. I believe what Samuel was displeased with was that they rejected God's pattern and what God had ordained for his people. And Samuel understood God takes care of things. But Samuel prayed, and the Lord said to Samuel, Hearken unto the voice of the people. You know, sometimes the worst thing can happen to us is we get what we ask for. And that's what happened. And so, in all that they say unto thee, they have not rejected thee, Samuel, but they have rejected me that I should not reign over them. And according to all the works which they have done since the day that I brought them up out of Egypt, even in this day wherewith they have forsaken me and have served other gods, so do they also unto thee. Our Father, we thank you for the word of God. Thankful for the opportunity to stand tonight and help us everyone to understand that if we're to be people of character, people that make a difference and people that honor you, that we've got to be a people that are obedient even when it's difficult, a people that's obedient even when it's not convenient, a people that's obedient when it's scary, a people that a desire to please you, not because they feel like it, not because they're motivated, not because, God, they're inspired to be obedient, but they're obedient because that's the right thing to do. They do it out of habit and not out of constraint. We thank you for the opportunity to preach tonight, and I pray that you would bless this congregation. May we get something from the Word of God and be better Christians, better soldiers and servants for your honor, for your glory. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, I believe this. Everybody is a creature of habit. It amazes me. I've seen some people that have habits that just tickle you. Coached with a guy at middle school named Ronnie Denson. And I love Coach Denson. He was a big man, strong as an ox, and impressive in the weight room. But he's a little OCD about things. And every day, before we left the office, everything had to be put back exactly right. And what we noticed was that, I mean, the remote controls not only had to be laid on the shelf, they had to be turned a certain way, Brother Paul. So you know what me and Coach usually got to doing? As soon as he walked out, we'd move the remote, move this book. And we'd come in and we'd wait. And every day before he could get focused and tell us, well, here's the plan for practice and so forth, he walked in the room and he'd stop. He'd scan the room. And you know what he'd do? He'd fix the remote. He'd put the book back. He'd straighten up the picture. He'd move the towels where they need to be. And we would sit there and just about bust a gut. But he did that every day. And no doubt it was a habit. Maybe people say it's OCD, but that's just the way it is. Now, we know this. Good habits can be your best friend. I mean, Eli's got a habit. He's got to brush his teeth 2 minutes every morning. I don't care if we're running late. Hey, Eli, we got to go. Just scrub them and go. That ain't happening. It's got to be 2 minutes or nothing. Amen? And it about drives me crazy because my other two boys, they're not... I mean, listen. Their toothbrush is in there. So did you really brush your teeth? They don't have that habit. And it amazes me. And I mean, you know, like Isaac, we can't get him in the habit to wear them rubber bands, right? He's coming Friday. Isn't it Friday or something like that? The kid's killing me. Probably could have the braces off, but he's getting the habit of putting them rubber bands in. And let me just say to you, good habits can be your best friend. Bad habits can be your worst friend. simple as it can possibly be. And you say, how do you create a habit? I'll tell you what you do. You do something long enough on purpose, and it just becomes a natural reaction. Just something that you do long enough. Now, the Bible tells us here about these folks here. Notice that the Bible says, according to all the works that they've done since the day they brought them out of Egypt, he said, listen, since the day I brought them out of Egypt, these people, even unto this day, wherewith they have forsaken me, have served other gods, so do they also unto thee. He said, you know what? He said, their history is littered. Their history is made up of a bunch of people that has had a habit of rejecting what I've told them to do. They have had a habit, even though that they're my people, and I have claimed them to myself, they have created a habit of disobeying and not doing what I wanted them to do. They have a habit of doing wrong. Now, I would say to you today that what they had done as a nation, that's what he said, according to all the works they've done since this day, he said, Samuel, they've not rejected you, they rejected me. And he said, don't get shook up about this. This is not something that you've created. This is not something you've started. This is a habitual habit that they have had in their history from the time they come up out of Egypt, crossed the Red Sea, crossed Jordan after 40 years, conquered Jericho, and fell at Ai, and reconquered Ai, and as they moved through the land of Canaan, victory after victory, these people have had a perpetual habit of rejecting what I've told them to do, and wanting to do things their own way. You know what? There's a lot of us that way, are we not? A lot of us are that guilty. They're going to do what they do. They develop a habit. And I'm going to say to you, most of the things we do in life is not based on inspiration or decision. Do you know that? Let me just put it this way. You know why you get gas in your car? Because you need gas in your car. Anybody's car does not need gas? Mine needs gas perpetually. Amen? I'm like, sometimes we get in, Jill's like, you know the vehicle is empty on gas. Well, I just put gas in it. But you go up and down enough road. Yeah, I didn't feel inspired to put gas in it. Have anybody pulled up and said, I feel inspired today to fill this tank up? I feel the Lord is leading me to fill this tank up. I've never really felt that way. Amen? I mean, one time I saw somebody there, God spoke to my heart and said, you know what? Pay for their gas. Not bragging, but that's happened before. But when it comes to my gas, I never felt inspired to pay for it. Amen? I didn't feel inspired to go to jail and not pay and run either. But listen, I want to tell you, some of you, you let me tell you why you put on deodorant. Not because you're inspired to put on deodorant, because you'll stink without it. You know what you put on every day? Because you need it. Amen? You simply need it. And there's some people that eat, they don't even have to think about it. Amen? But let me just tell you this. I've learned this with my kids. There's times that the things that they need to eat, guess what? They don't do it because they just feel inspired to eat it. It's because I'm standing there and looking them down and say, if you don't, you're going to get a belt. If you don't, you're not going to eat. Now, there's not too much food my kids turn down anymore, but I remember those days. Let me just tell you this. You kids go to bed. How many of them go to bed because they're inspired to? Now, I have heard of people have weird kids. At 8 o'clock, they're ready to go to bed. Let me tell you, your kids are unusual. Because my kids, I have to motivate. I say, listen, it's 9 o'clock. It is time to go to bed. Eli's the closest one we have. Sometimes he gets close to 9. He says, Dad, I'm tired. I'm going to bed. Me and Jill's like, wow. The other two, you know what they're doing? They're trying to sneak off. They got to find something else to do. Well, I need to go to the bathroom. I need to get something to drink. Oh, I got to go out in the garage and get this. Oh, I got to go upstairs, take care of this. No, get to bed. They don't do it because they're inspired. They do it because they're forced to. And let me just tell you something. And I wish there sometimes somebody forced me to go to bed. Amen. You watch a guy that smokes. He smokes not because he feels inspired, just out of a habit. You watch a guy that listen to me, I want you to understand that is working somewhere. I had an uncle that worked for Ford Motor Company for 40 years. He'd jump in his vehicle in the morning, and the first thing he'd do, get out of bed at 5 o'clock. He'd go take a shower, put on his clothes, and he'd head out the door. It didn't matter in Cleveland. I mean, it'd snow that deep, amen. He didn't feel inspired probably that morning, but he did it out of habit. For 40 years, drove to Ford, went there, worked his 8-10-hour shift, got his vehicle, and drove home, ate supper, went to bed, and got up the next morning, did it for 40 years. And I doubt one time he got up that morning and thought, "Woo! I'm inspired to go work for Ford Motor Company." Now think about that. How crazy would that be? You know why he did it? He'd done it so long it became a natural habit. Now, let me just tell you something today. You don't read your Bible because you're inspired to read it. You don't read your Bible. You don't pray just because, only when you're inspired. You listen to me. You don't witness to somebody just because you feel led. Now, if you feel led, you better jump on it. Amen. But that doesn't unobligate you because you're not feel led. If you have an opportunity to talk to somebody and point them to the Lord Jesus, then you ought to jump on that. You see, I believe what we do today is because we develop good habits. You know, the Bible says this of Enoch, that Enoch walked with God and he was not, for God took him. You know what, Enoch, in the latter years of his life, Enoch had children somewhere along the way, it clicked with Enoch, and Enoch started walking with God every day. Every day. You know what it means? That tells me he had a habit every single day, not just on Sunday, not just on Wednesday, not just during revival, and not just during vacation Bible school and special services and time trouble was in his life. He was walking with God every single day. May I say to you, we need a habit every day of walking with God. You know, Noah walked with God. Noah was a just man. He was perfect in his generation. He spent 120 years building the ark. And listen to me, you say, why did God choose him? I'll tell you why, because the Bible says he walked with God. Now, God chose a man that was walking with him. Listen to me, you know what he did the whole time he was building the ark? He just kept walking with God. People make fun of him, preach to him, they ignore the message, he just kept walking with God. And you say, well, God surely could have found somebody more prolific that could have won more people. Only one is his wife and his three sons and their daughters. Surely could have found somebody. Let me just tell you something. God knew what he was doing, and God's in control of that thing. And may I say to you, he's very prolific. He won his family to the Lord. And his family served the Lord. And so I want you to understand that, listen to me, God never uses an unyielded vessel. God uses those that say, God, here am I. God, I'm going to make myself available. And I don't believe God promotes those people who are not faithful in the little things. You know what they do? They develop good habits. Good habits. Daniel was godly. Daniel, he prayed 3 times a day, the Bible tells us. Why did he do that? Because he purposed in his heart did not defile himself with the portion of the king's meat nor with the wine that he drank. Therefore he requested of the eunuch, the prince of the eunuchs, he not defile himself. Listen, let me tell you something. Daniel made some decisions in the early parts of his life. He was going to walk with God. He was going to serve God. And he didn't wait till trouble come along. Then he said, I'll make my decision. You know, that's what a lot of people do. I'll make my decision when that presents itself. Daniel made some decisions how he was going to live his life before he ever had an opportunity to make that decision. Daniel didn't say, oh, you know what? I'll wait till I'm tempted to gamble and then I'll pray about that and see what I'll do. No, Daniel knew how he was going to live his life. Daniel lived with integrity. Daniel separated himself for the glory of God. So you know what happened? There come a day that Daniel's foes hated him because the king Nebuchadnezzar loved Daniel. And Daniel was able to interpret dreams. And Daniel was able to tell the course of the future. And he was able to give insight to the king that all the other astrologers and wise men in the whole realm, it blew their minds. They weren't able to keep up with the pace that Daniel was on. And Daniel was able to tell them things they could never dream to tell the king and interpret the things that the king was seeing in his visions. And guess what? They said, we're going to get Daniel. We're going to make a decree that nobody can pray to anybody except to Nebuchadnezzar. If they do, guess what? They're going to pay a price. And you know what? When Daniel knew in Daniel 6, Daniel knew that the writing was signed. He said, I don't care if they throw me to the lions. And Daniel knew the writing was signed. He went to his house and his windows being opened in the chamber toward Jerusalem. And he nailed up on his knees 3 times a day and prayed and gave thanks before his God as he did aforetime. You know what? Daniel had a habit of praying. And he didn't care what the king said. He was going to be disobedient. He said, I'm going to please God. This is not going to ruin my habit. You'll find in the scriptures and the Bereans in Acts 17:11, they were more noble than those in Thessalonica, and they had to receive the word of God with all readiness of mind, and they searched the scriptures out daily, whether those things were so. You know what they did every single day? They had a habit of reading the word of God. They weren't just inspired to read a Bible, they were reading the Bible. And so I believe one of the greatest things that we could ever do is have a habit of reading scriptures, have a habit of praying. We shouldn't wait till trouble comes. We shouldn't wait till we feel inspired. We shouldn't wait to make decisions how we're going to deal with things when trouble comes. We should already be determined. Everybody that names the name of Christ, we're going to live for the Lord and we're going to honor Him with our life. So those decisions are already made. You'll find that in Luke chapter 22, verse 39, the Bible says, "And he came out, Jesus, and went as he was wont, to the Mount Olives, and his disciples also followed him." You know what he did? Jesus was going to the Mount Olives to pray. Why did he do that? Well, I don't know, but the Bible says this, that as he wont. What does wont mean? You won't use that word, but it's etho or etho in the Greek, and it means to be accustomed to. You know what Jesus had accustomed to? Praying. That's what he was doing. He had a custom of praying. You'll find all through the Scriptures. You know what the Bible says in Hebrews 10:25? Not the forsaking of the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is. You see, some had developed a habit of not being faithful to the house of God. He said, listen, not forsaking the assembling together as the habit or the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and that so much the more as you see the day approaching. You know what we ought to do? We ought to have a habit of encouraging people and not have a habit of missing church. Amen. Pretty simple. Lee, say, what are you saying? Let me tell you, there's too many people waiting to feel inspired to serve God. If you're a Christian, you ought to serve God without having to feel inspired. If you're a Bible believer, you don't need a sign that says you need to start going to church. If you've been born again, you ought to go to church. If you've been born again, you ought to abstain from the things of this world and you ought to act like a Christian. They shouldn't have to ask you that. They shouldn't have to feel inspired by that. And you say, well, I just don't feel led to do that. Listen, I hear people all the time, well, I don't feel led to do this. I don't care what you don't feel led to do. You know what? There's a whole lot in that Bible. You don't have to feel led to do anything. You just obey it.
Amen.
Right? You know, I pray about going to church. Why? You're Christian, tells you to go to church. Now, I don't have to pray about giving to the Lord. That's what the Bible tells me to do. You might pray about how much. You might pray about doing it. I don't have to pray about witness somebody. God's told me to do it. God's not told us as a church that we ought to pray about supporting missionaries. You read the Bible. They're pretty big in the missions. See, I just don't get it, people. I'm going to pray about this, pray about that. I don't feel this, and I don't feel that. Well, you know what? I'll be honest with you. There's something wrong with your feeler then, amen? And I'll tell you what, the Holy Spirit, the only thing I know is this, that the Holy Spirit makes it very clear to me when I'm not done right or I'm supposed to do something that I'm not doing. He makes me keenly aware of that. Listen to me. We need a discipline of being obedient. We need a discipline. We need a determination to do what God's told us to do. We need a habit of doing rather than talking. We need a habit of having the right direction in our life. Let me just tell you something. You say, what is that? Let me tell you, you get to determine the direction your life is going. Joshua said, choose you this day whom you will serve. He said, you can go back and serve all the gods on the other side of the flood that your fathers served, all those pagan gods. But as for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. Joshua understood that he had the ability to make a decision and make a habit out of following the Lord. We ought to make a habit out of following the Lord. We ought to make a habit out of praying and lifting others up for the name of Jesus Christ. You see, I had my truck one time had a bad habit. Every time I drove by Dairy Queen, it went whoop. You know how I fixed it? I moved to Lancaster. Amen. They turned that Dairy Queen into a liquor store. What a bunch of heathens. Bunch of heathens. Listen, you say, Brother Grant, what are you saying? I said, we need to develop some habits. Some habits. I mean, you know, sometimes there's some things you do. It's crazy. You get to miss them. Typical Bradley went with me and today, and we lifted earlier today. And he said, I've been missing this. Joseph's been with me. I never miss squats. I really don't. Because you know what happens the next day? I'm like an old man. I'm like, goodness gracious, why did I do this? You know why I do it? I think I almost developed a habit after a couple of years, but I know this, it stabilizes that knee. And you have knee problems, you're like, man, I'm going to try to keep that thing stable as much as I possibly can because I know the alternative. And cortisone shots ain't fun. Knee surgeries ain't grand. So you better develop some good habits to protect that thing. Amen? And you say, what are you saying? Here's what I'm saying. We need some good habits in our life that protects us. If we don't have good habits, we get weak in some areas. And when we're weak in those areas, we're very vulnerable. Good habits, let me tell you something, will protect you. Our Father, I thank you for the Word of God tonight. Help us, God, as your people, to have the right kind of habits. This world, we're all creatures of habits. People watch TV, they watch certain programs, they eat certain dinners on certain nights of the weeks. Some people go to certain restaurants, God, because of what they're serving for lunch that day, and they do it week in, week out. And they know what they're having on Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday. And I know people that have habits of what they do on Sunday afternoons, and what some people have habits of things that they do during the course of the week. God, we all have habits. Help us to see the importance of having good habits and not being as the children of Israel that had a perpetual habit from the very day you delivered them from the bonds of Egyptian slavery, from the sting of the taskmaster's whip. They've had a perpetual habit of disobeying and walking away from you. Help us, your people, to make some habits in our life that draw us close to you and strengthen the things that are weak. We pray it all in the name of Jesus. Amen. Let's all stand.